from nationals, and we are unarmed. We are human rights observers. We are going to be staying here, and we will be knowing what you do. And if you shoot at this house, you will endanger the lives of internationals and innocent women and children. And the world will know. Do not shoot all over this community. And we are here, and we see what you do. We are from the United States of America. We are from Britain. And we are from Italy. And our embassies and governments know that we are here. And the international media knows that we are here. Do not shoot at innocent women and children. And if you try, you may injure an international. And there will be international ramifications for such an action.
I've been here for about a month and a half now, and this is definitely the most difficult situation that I've ever seen. In the time that I've been here, children have been shot and killed. On the 30th of January, the Israeli military bulldozed the two largest water wells, destroying over half of Rafah's water supply. Every few days, if not every day, houses are demolished here. People are economically devastated because of the closure of the borders into Egypt and the extreme control of the Gazan economy by Israel. I came to look at the aftermath of a place where 25 greenhouses had been demolished on the other side of Rafah, destroying the livelihoods of about 300 people. And that had taken place while they rounded up about 150 men, held them under a sniper tower, and shot around them to contain the men, the farmers in the area. So I feel like what I'm witnessing here is a very systematic destruction of people's ability to survive, and that is incredibly horrifying. It's incredibly horrifying. Thank you.
1968, there was a revolt in Europe, all over Europe. May 1968, there was almost a barricade revolution in Paris. And then there was a student revolution led by Cohen in Germany. There was a Maoist tendency all over the youth in Europe. But then it was crushed. And all these revolutionaries and democratic and human rights supporters found in the Palestinian Revolution one way of breathing freedom and expressing their own wish and will to fight oppression and to support freedom and human rights. Lots of them came to the Palestinian Revolution, different organizations, either as volunteers to fight, or volunteers on the medical level, or volunteers on kindergarten level teaching kids, or volunteers on human rights defense level. Thousands of Europeans, Americans came before 1971 to Jordan and joined us, afterwards to Lebanon and joined us, and they really did a good help.
My first contact with Palestinians was actually back in 1975 in the refugee camp of Tal Azatar in East Beirut at that time. I was a young student and we went out with a number of Dutch students to a summer holiday work camp in Tal Azatar. It involved working on the road towards the school in the camp, making the road better. And at the same time, we got into contact with lots of families. We learned about, you know, the Palestinian people, how they were living in exile. And we learned about the Palestinian resistance movement as well. At that time, I was an anthropology student, and I felt that I wasn't doing very much practical help, so I decided to train as a nurse, which I did between 77 and 1982, beginning of 1982. And when I finished, I traveled to Lebanon and decided to volunteer for the Palestine Red Crescent Society in one of their hospitals. And as it happened, when I arrived in Lebanon, the Israeli invasion into Lebanon in 1982 had already started. So it was for me a baptism of fire, you know, working in a PCS field hospital called Lahout in the northern part of the West Beirut. And for me, this was really a baptism by fire. But I came through it quite well, actually, and it just made my resolve to work for the Palestinian people for a long time much stronger.
Historically, there was a growth of solidarity movement with Palestine, starting from 67. It reached many peaks, 70s, 80s. Then what happened was there were two problems with the solidarity movement in the 90s, or end of 80s, beginning of 90s. The first problem was the institutionalization of relationship between the solidarity groups. It became somehow, because the government started to open up to the PLO, the care about the popular grassroots movement declined. The second problem was with Oslo. The Oslo Agreement and the signing of Oslo and then receiving the Nobel Prize for Peace and all of that created an image which Israel nurtured a lot. The image that peace is already there in the Holy Land. And that if there is peace, you don't need a solidarity movement. So there was a facade of peace while occupation and settlement continued. While it was a unilateral peace, unilateral abstention of struggle from one side, which is the Palestinian side, while the Israelis continued attacks and arrest and settlement building, and practically it was unilateral ceasefire, which was presented to the world as peace. And that dramatically hurt and affected the solidarity movement. Many of them disagreed politically with what the PLO did. And this whole thing, suddenly when the Intifada started, immediately the bridges were re-established with the solidarity movement.
At the end of September 2002, the Second Palestinian Intifada, or uprising, broke out as Palestinians took to the streets to demand their freedom and an immediate end to Israeli occupation. For 7 years prior, while the world talked about peace and everyone put their efforts into the Oslo peace process, the Israeli government did not move to end the occupation and give Palestinians their independence, but instead used the guise of peace to cement the occupation. During 7 years that the world talked about peace, more Palestinian land was confiscated, settlements on stolen Palestinian land and settlers doubled, water was confiscated, Palestinian areas were closed off, roadblocks and checkpoints increased. All of this, while the world talked about peace, Palestinian hopes and dreams were shattered.
The ISM was started by my wife and some other international activists and Palestinians who were seeking to resist and struggle against the occupation and for their freedom by using nonviolent direct action against the occupation. The ISM was founded to create a resource for Palestinians who sought to use nonviolence as their method of struggle. The Israeli military, we know, has tremendous resources at its disposal. The occupation has billions of dollars coming from this country and other countries around the world. Weapons, Caterpillar bulldozers. But what do the Palestinians have who wish to resist? What do the people who wish to take to the streets and use the one strength that the Palestinian people have that cannot be taken away from them, the unity and the strength of the community, the sense of samud, steadfastness?
Sometimes it takes a while for it to set in what is happening here, because I think many of the people here, they try to maintain what they can of their lives. And I think, I don't know, maybe it has to do with protecting their children, that they try to be happy, joke with their children. So sometimes it takes time to, it's hard to hold in your mind, you know, the complete reality of what's happening here. Sometimes I'm sitting down to dinner with people and I just realize that there is a massive military machine surrounding them and trying to kill these people that I'm having dinner with, these families that I'm sitting down to eat with and who are being very generous and kind to me, and their children here who are incredibly threatened, living lives that no child ever should have to live. I feel a lot of horror, really. I feel a lot of horror about the situation.
The idea came to get the international community involved, and not just involved in solidarity actions around the world, but involved on the ground in the occupied Palestinian territories. For the international community was not filling its role to the Palestinian people of providing them with protection and taking action to uphold their basic right to life and to freedom.
People who struggle for their rights, people who struggle for freedom, there's one thing common to all of these people around the world. It is the symbolism of the Palestinian flag. You see it in Northern Ireland, You see it among the peasants in Colombia. You see it in Chiapas. You see it in this country. You see it everywhere. And so we decided, those of us who are living in the occupied territories and working with Palestinians, that there had to be a way to manifest this solidarity that people felt, this identification people had with the Palestinian struggle. And so we decided to ask people to come and join us in the occupied territories. And quite honestly, to this day, I still can't believe people come. I thought, no way, nobody's gonna come here. Look what they see on TV. People are being killed every day. It's a massive military with helicopters and planes. And I was living there and I couldn't imagine anybody would want to come and do what I do. And yet, in August of 2001, 50 people came.
The idea was that we would get international civilians to join us and to fulfill the role that their respective governments and formal entities like the United Nations were not fulfilling. We undertook a few actions to encourage the popular resistance to continue. And in August of 2001, we issued a large campaign where we invited people from all over the world to come join us. In August of 2001, approximately 50 civilians from all over the world, but mainly from the United States and the UK, came to the occupied Palestinian territories. We trained them in the situation and how to respond to Israeli soldier violence. And we took to the streets in a coordinated campaign directed at highlighting Israeli occupation brutality. After that, the word spread. And in December of 2001, over 100 civilians joined us, and we continued our campaigning. People continued to come to join us in the streets and to go home and spread the word.
There is no reason to use violence against us. We are only walking to school.
Why are you throwing it on unarmed people?
Yuval, guys.
Why are you doing that?
Why are you throwing gas at the students? They have signs and books in their hands. Would you be a student like this? Tel Aviv University, Hebrew University, Technion. They're just going to school. Would you be attacked at your schools?
Why are you laughing?